Good morning. Sorry for the late start this morning. I've been scrambling around trying to do a bunch of things that I would have done over the past week if I'd have been here. So I just want to say good morning. I have a couple of announcements for you, not nearly the huge list of announcements we've had over the past couple of months. Before I give those announcements, I want to tell you, I got up here and this mic was up here and I'm thinking, man, I met Keith. I don't remember how tall he was, but we're going to put that down there and I'm going to share some announcements with you. First of all, if you have not received your 2019 offering envelopes, there is a chance that they are on the table out there. So if that is something that you normally use and you would like to get those, you can go out there and look. If you go out there and look and you don't have envelopes with your name on them and you would like some, please speak to Ken Bozer or Marvin Lewis, and they will make sure that they get those to you as soon as they can. Also, today is the last day to sign up for snow camp, so if you are 12 and over and snow camp is something that you are interested in, please come and speak to me today. Even if you can't get me the $25 deposit today, I would like to know that you're planning on coming because I would like to make final reservations with Circle C later on this week. So those are the two big things going on. Also, John Garris is in Mexico on vacation. So his class is not going to be meeting today. Thankfully, my class will be starting today. So if you normally attend his class, I'd like to invite you to come and attend my class. We're going to be down in the red chair room, pretty much right underneath the sanctuary over here. So we will be starting that out today. What was that? We
do hope they don't build the wall before he comes back.
They'll probably let John back anyways. As long as he doesn't say anything, they'll let him back. All right, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. If you would, please join me, and we get to kick off this new year together. Lord, I want to thank you for the chance to be back in the pulpit this morning. I want to pray as we get ready to worship you, Lord, that, you know, as I pray regularly, Lord, that this would not just be the acts that we go through on a Sunday morning, that this would not just be the spiritual hoops that we jump through, but that we would recognize the privilege that we have to worship you this morning. I pray that the joy and excitement to be able to worship you would rise up in our hearts and that we would express it in our words. And I just pray that you would be glorified through the things that we do this morning. I want to pray for each individual that's here or that hears these words this morning, Lord, that you would open their hearts to what you might have to say to them personally. And I pray that if there's a challenge that needs to be challenged, that you would bring that challenge about through your Spirit. And if there's encouragement that needs to be offered, I pray that they would receive that encouragement also through the work of your Spirit and your Word in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, please stand and let's worship the Lord this morning.
Good morning. Join us as we begin with Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
If ever.
If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Thank you. You may be seated.
A At this time, I'd like to call the children up on stage. If you are a children's church or junior church attender, I'd like to invite you to come up and join me here. We got a few folks. You can come around over here if you want to, or around back there. That'll work. All right. There you go. I'm going to have to turn my chair a little bit so I can make eye contact with all of you. That's where the lazy eye comes in handy, because you'll think I'm making eye contact with you even when I'm not. All right. So how are you guys doing?
Good.
How was your Christmas? Do I have this? I think I have this thing on. Sure, I do. All right. Well, good. I'm glad you guys had a good Christmas. Did anybody get something they really, really wanted?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got a Lego set. It was helicopter pursuit.
Ah, that's right. What did you get that you really wanted, Cameron?
I got a remote control mouse and a tablet.
Oh, well, that's fun. Well, what did you get?
I'll wait.
A what?
I'll wait.
You'll wait? Oh, okay. What did you get?
A letter that I really wanted.
Oh, very nice.
A cowboy horse.
Oh, fun. What did you get?
A football.
What did you get? Art supplies. What did you get?
I got a
Lego. Fun. All right, what did you get?
I got a metal detector that I really wanted. I had enough money for the one. I went back to order it. It wasn't there, so
I
just
bought
it.
Oh. Nice. All right, now let me ask this one question, and I'm looking at you, Charlotte Grace. Did anyone not get something they really wanted? What did you want, Charlotte? What did you want that you didn't get? A hoverboard? Yeah, that's right. What about you, Caleb?
A Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. And what about you?
Because mine got lost.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
I didn't get a cowboy.
Oh, a cowboy? Like the real thing?
Cowboy hat.
Oh, a cowboy hat. Okay, all right. Big difference there. All right. So anyways, that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. I just wanted to see how your Christmas was, all right? What we are going to talk about this morning is a little bit different. I wanted to ask you guys, is there something that you have to do every single day that you don't like to do? Cameron. Well, maybe you'll have snow to play in, but that's something you like to do that you don't get to do every day. I'm looking for I'm looking for something that you have to do every day that you don't like to do. Go ahead, Charlie Ada. What is it?
I don't like to do my homework.
You don't like to do your homework, but you have to do it every day, right? Boy, now all of a sudden hands are shooting up. What do you
have to get up for school?
Have to get up for school. You know what? There are very few people like to get up in the morning to do what they have to do, but you know what? The alternative is not getting up in the morning, which is even worse. So. All right, yeah. So, all right, getting up in the morning. Benjamin, what do you not like to do that you have to do every day?
Every day, take a shower.
Yeah, take a shower. Sabra, what about you? You don't like taking the dog out in the morning? I know, it's funny. I have a daughter that's the same way. You know, if we want the dog, we want the dog, but then, oh, there's so much work. All right, what else? Adiah. All right. I was going to say, that's the other version. That's something you like to do every day, but you're not supposed to. Caleb.
This doesn't happen every day, but this happened this morning. I hate waking up to Lily making weird sounds in a kennel.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's that. Okay. Yes, sir.
I don't like doing the chores.
And the chores. All right. There's things we have to do every day. I'm going to tell you another thing that I know a lot of people don't like to do every day is brush their teeth. And I know that because I have a lot of kids in my house, and I have to be on them all the time to brush their teeth. Now, the other day, just a couple of days ago, we went to the dentist, all right, and there was a sign that was hanging up on the wall that said you don't have to brush all your teeth, just the ones you want to keep. And I thought, boy, when I saw that, I was like, I hope my kids don't see that because none of them want to keep their baby teeth. They're going to tell me they don't have to brush those anymore. But that's something that, you know, they have to do every single day. What happens if you don't do that every single day? Charlotte. They get yellow, and what else can happen? Charlie Ada.
They will fall out.
They could fall out, but there's, yeah, that will happen, but what will happen even before that? Cameron.
At the dentist.
Yeah. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I'm going to jump over to Caleb. Caleb, what else will happen? Cavities, right? So if you don't brush your teeth every day, they start to get rotten. They start to get cavities. They fall out. Oh, all right. Yes, many people have. I've had them before, too. So this is something, listen, guys, this is something you have to do every single day. Listen, or else your teeth are going to get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and nastier, and they'll fall out. Nope, yours look just fine. So listen, all right. Shh, let's not get distracted on the teeth. The reason I share the thing with the teeth is because it, what if you found out that there was something that you could do that you would never have to brush your teeth again? Like one time to brush your teeth and you would never have to brush them again. How would you like that? Raise your hand if you think that would be awesome. Or something like, you know, one time that you had to do homework and you never had to do homework again. Raise your hand. Yeah. See, we would like that. Now, what I'm going to be talking about in my message today is something that the Israelites had to do on a very regular basis. I don't know if they had to do it every day, but every time they broke God's law, they had to bring a sacrifice to the temple, which doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but could you imagine having to do that every single day or every other day or every 3 days where you had to bring... Yeah, or where you had to bring a sheep or a goat to the temple. That seems like that would just be crazy. Now, could you imagine... Yes? Oh, it's okay. Can you imagine if there was one sacrifice that made it so you never had to do another sacrifice again? Wouldn't that be... Yeah, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Yes? Yeah. Well, like we've been told, that's already been done in Jesus Christ. All right. I know you did. You get the points for today. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today, and that's what we're going to focus on. All right, guys, y'all can head back, all right? Uh-oh. Yep. All right, good. All right, ladies, time to head back. All right, it's good. We're good. We're locked. Tessa, time to go back. All right, so anyways, you kind of got an idea of where we're going to be going with that. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 if you want to turn in your Bibles there. And while you're turning there, of course, I am just back from my vacation, which was not a vacation in the strict sense. We didn't go anywhere. It was, you know, just kind of a hang around the house and try and relax vacation. I've been asked several times this morning how my vacation was, and I've kind of given the answer, mainly because... I mean, it was good. It was nice. You know, we were away from work and, you know, spending time together as a family. But there was one thing that was frustrating about my vacation, and it took me almost till the end of my vacation to realize what it was. It was this. My vacation was the perfect storm of house messiness, and it drove me crazy. Now, I know that some of you were at my house the night before I went on vacation, pretty much, on the 23rd, and you probably saw a house that looked very nicely put together and very clean. And it was at that point. But the very next night was Christmas Eve, and we had family over. And then on Christmas Day, we were inundated with a fresh supply of items to be left all over the house. And all of those items came wrapped in wrapping paper and tape, which was also left all over the house. And then, in addition to that, the children were home from school during this vacation, which meant that in the morning I would get up, and I would go through and I would try and clean up the house. And as I was cleaning up the house, they were going around behind me taking things out and making a mess. Literally as I was going. In addition to that, because the kids were home, we needed 7 plates, 7 items of silverware, multiple cups, 3 times a day. And so I felt like as quick as the kitchen got clean, as quick as the dishes got done, it was all there to do again. There was a point when Alicia and I were driving alone that I told her that I finally understood why some people might pay someone else to come and clean their house. And I'll tell you what, if there was a way that I could clean my house once and never have it get messy again, I would be all over that. And I'm sure that, I was about to say, I'm sure that each of you have had similar frustration. You verified that. But whether it's, you know, maybe it's not quite the same frustration. You know, maybe it's something at your job. You know, maybe you work one of those jobs where you get to work and you sit behind a desk and you do all this paperwork, you clear off your desk, you leave, and by the next day you come in and there's another stack of paperwork, and it's like, man, I just got through all of this. Or maybe you work a job where, or, you know, even a cleaning job, which I've had some of those in the past where, you know, you go and you clean everything and then you come back the next day and you got to clean it all again, or, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe it is around the house like what I experienced over the past couple weeks. Or maybe it's just your schedule. You know, maybe you wake up on Monday morning and you say, well, here we go again. You know, we did all of this stuff last week and now we got to do all of this stuff again this week. Maybe you even experience frustration with religion. You know, maybe you wake up on Sunday morning and you think, man, I don't want to go to church today. You know, I went to church last week and, you know, I've been to church so many times. I don't want to do this again today. You know, as frustrating as all of this can be, I would suggest to you that the Israelites experienced a frustration that dwarfs all of this. You know, God had given them the law through Moses. And part of that law was that every time they sinned, every time they broke that law, they had to bring a sacrifice to the temple. And we know this, right? Because we've heard this before. But have you ever stopped to think about how frustrating that would be in real life? All right? Because to us, that's not real life. We haven't done that. We haven't experienced that. But could you imagine if every single time you sinned, you had to get a bull or a goat or a sheep or some sacrifice and bring it to the temple and have it sacrificed? I think the closest thing that we experience to that in real life today is probably Catholicism, because Catholics are supposed to do something similar to that, right? When they sin, they're supposed to go to confession, and they confess those sins, and then they are given, you know, tasks to do, or, you know, Hail Marys and things like that to say. But even that's not really the same thing, because, you know, saying a bunch of Hail Marys doesn't cost you anything but time, right? You know, we don't have to today get an animal and bring it to a place and have it slaughtered. Could you imagine how frustrating it would be to bring a sacrifice to the temple and walk away knowing that your sin has been covered by that animal's blood, and to get home and later on that evening to realize that you broke God's law yet again, and now you have to turn around again tomorrow morning because the temple's already closed tonight, and bring an animal up there first thing in the morning. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? And that's like the worst version of not being able to keep your house clean. And that's why I think a verse like Hebrews 10, verse 10, should be amazing news. This verse says, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." One final sacrifice to make us holy. That would be better than finding out that we could clean our house one last time and never have to clean it again, or that we could brush our teeth one last time and never have to brush them again. That would be the most amazing thing that we can find out, and it is true. But how does this work? Why did the Israelites have to sacrifice every day or every time they sinned? Yeah, I think that would be. I think that when we understand why they had to do what they had to do and why we don't have to do it anymore, I think that that gives us a greater appreciation for Jesus Christ, and I think that that can have the effect of exciting us about our relationship with God. I mean, let's be real with each other. You know, sometimes church, sometimes Christianity as it is today, becomes a drudgery for a lot of people. And you see that. You hear that expressed. And I think when we begin to understand the truth of Christianity, not all the things we do, but what has been done for us in Jesus Christ, I believe that that's able to inject joy and excitement and vigor into our relationship with God. So, let's explore the beauty of the sacrifice of Christ. This morning I want to ask and answer two questions. The first question that we need to ask is, why did the Israelites have to sacrifice every time they sinned? Why did the Israelites have to sacrifice every time they sinned? Well, the answer to that question is actually spelled out for us in verse 4. Verse 4 of Hebrews 10 says, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats is not valuable enough to pay for sin. And I know that there's some groups today who would disagree and be very offended by what I'm about to say. But the fact of the matter is that animals are not worth the same thing as people. Now, I know that there's a lot of people, again, that get really up in arms about that, but the idea that people and animals have the same value comes from evolution, frankly. You know, because if we just evolved from animals, then it would make sense that we are nothing different than animals and therefore have no intrinsic value that is different than animals. But the fact is, we didn't evolve from animals. We were created by God, and we were told very specifically in Genesis chapter 1 that when God created man, he made man and woman in his image, and that gives us a special value that the blood of animals is just not able to match. You know, because we have that intrinsic value, an animal is not capable of paying the cost of our sins. You know, just to give you an idea or a picture of what this is, when I was very young, I wanted to buy something that was $30. And I didn't have $30, but I did have 3 dimes. I had 30 cents. And in my young mind, I heard 30 and I heard 30, but I wasn't able to connect the fact that there was a difference between dimes and dollars. And so I remember going to my mom with those 3 dimes and saying, you know, I want to buy this thing. And she said, well, you don't have enough money. And I said, but it costs 30 and I have 30. And I was incapable of understanding that there is a difference between the value of dollars and the value of dimes. Well, there is also a difference between the value of people and the value of animals. And the blood of bulls and goats was never going to be enough to pay the cost of sin. So, why all the sacrifice? If the blood of bulls and goats was never going to be able to cover sin, if it was never going to be able to pay the penalty of sin, why all the sacrifice? Well, the writer of Hebrews answers that in the first couple of verses. In verse 1, he says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship." What the writer of Hebrews is saying there is that all the sacrificing of animals was meant to be a shadow or a picture of something greater that was coming, and therefore it was never capable of doing what it was picturing, or else the picture wouldn't have needed to come. You get what I'm saying? If the blood of bulls and goats was capable of washing us clean, then Jesus would never have had to come. But these things were just a picture of him. In verse 2 it says, "If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins." Again, the writer of Hebrews is saying, if bulls and goats were even capable of doing this, then they would have sacrificed one and been done and been washed clean, but they were not capable of doing it. Now, here's the key in verse 3. It says, "But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins." And that was the point of the sacrificial system. Every single time the Israelites sinned, they had to bring a sacrifice to the temple in order to remind them, in order to show them and keep heavy in their mind the fact that their sin cost something. The fact that their sin was offensive to God. Oftentimes, repetition is meant to be a reminder. I want to share a story with you of something that happened while I was on vacation. And this is one of those things that, as a parent, you know how sometimes your kids do things and you know you're not supposed to laugh, but you just can't help yourself because it's just so funny? We had one of those situations where I don't even remember what happened, but Benjamin got sent to his room and Alicia and I were sitting down in the dining room when we heard him stomping all the way up the stairs. Every last stair that he hit, he stomped with all his might. And he walked into his room. We could hear him stomp down the hall to his room. And we were having trouble not dying laughing at each other. And so we said, "Benjamin, come back down the stairs." And so he came back down the stairs. We said, "You don't stomp up the stairs like that. Now walk back up the stairs the right way." And so he did. He walked back up the stairs, and we didn't hear him stomping this time. But then when he got to his room, I don't even know what he was doing. It wasn't like he wasn't throwing things around, but there was a steady banging, just I don't know. He wasn't kicking because it wasn't at the speed of kicking, but just a steady banging like this. And so we looked at each other and laughed again and said, Benjamin, come back down the stairs. And he came back down the stairs and we said, whatever you're banging on up there, that is not appropriate. Now walk back up the stairs again and quit banging. And so he walked back up the stairs again and we did not hear from him again. All right? But the point is that all that walking up and down the stairs was a reminder to him of what he was doing wrong and the right way to do it. And that's what all the sacrifice was about in the Old Testament. It was a reminder to the Israelites every single day that they were sinners and that their sin needed to be atoned and that their sin separated them from God. It was an everyday reminder. So, to answer the original question, the Israelites had to sacrifice every time they sinned so that they would never forget their need for atonement and their need for holiness and the sin that was in their lives. Now, that doesn't have necessarily a direct application to us because we don't do that anymore, right? We have Jesus, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. However, it does raise an interesting question. And the question it raises is this. Now that we don't have to sacrifice every time we sin, is it possible that we have grown forgetful of the damaging effects that sin can have in our lives? Because we don't have that regular reminder that the Israelites have, do we forget that sin is not something to be dabbled in? Let me suggest to you that even though we don't have to sacrifice for our sin every single day, we need to be thinking about our sin every single day. And when I say thinking about our sin, I don't mean like contemplating how we're going to do it and get away with it. I mean thinking about the sins that are in our lives, the things that we know that we struggle with, and the effect that it has on our relationship with God, even today, even as Christians. And I think that as those sins are brought to our mind and brought to our heart, we need to confess those things to God every single day. I mean, you could read in John chapter, 1 John chapter 1 further about this idea of how when we sin that we can confess our sins to Jesus. All right? And this is something that we should do every single day because sin has not changed since the Old Testament. Even though we don't have to sacrifice every single day, sin is still the same thing. And yes, as we're going to see in just a moment, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was that one final sacrifice so that we don't have to do that anymore. But that doesn't mean that we still should not remember the effect that sin has in our lives. In fact, if we begin to have a very laid-back attitude towards sin, I would suggest that that means that we don't really understand the grace of God. And the grace of God was shown through the work of Jesus Christ. And so the second question that we have to ask and answer this morning is, how did the death of Jesus accomplish what sacrifices could not? In verses 5 through 7 of Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews quotes from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. But I want you to notice what he does. At the very beginning, he says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, and then it starts into this quote. So what the writer of Hebrews does, I don't know if Jesus ever actually spoke these words. Maybe he did, I don't know. But what the writer of Hebrews is doing is he's taking the words from Psalm 40 and placing them into Jesus' mouth, which is fair because, I mean, you know, God is the author of the Bible and Jesus is God. But listen to these words out of Psalm chapter 40 that the writer of Hebrews is putting into Jesus' mouth. It says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. Now, that's a very interesting quote, okay? But what the writer of Hebrews does that I like is he then goes on to explain that quote in the next several verses. Look at verse 8, he says, first he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. What the writer of Hebrews is saying right there is that God was never going to be pleased with animal sacrifices. That was, you know, even though that was part of his plan, even though the law required them, he was never going to be pleased with them. That was never the goal. That was never his desire. That was not what God wanted. Now look at verse 9. It says, then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. More or less what it's saying is that when Jesus came, he set aside that whole sacrificial system, that whole first thing, and established something that was new, something that was different. And that's what we read about in verse 10. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus Christ came, he gave his body. His body was sacrificed once for all so that we could be made holy. It was that final sacrifice. And the reason that it worked is because his blood is infinitely more valuable than ours. You know, we talked about how animal blood is not as valuable as ours. Jesus' blood, because he is God, is infinitely more valuable than ours. You know, right now, John Garris is on vacation. He's doing his vacation right now. And he's down in Mexico with his family. Before he left, he was telling us, this is not the first time he's gone to Mexico. And he enjoys going to Mexico, he said, because he can feed a lot of people there very inexpensively. Actually, I think the word he used was cheaply, but I like the word inexpensively. I think it sounds better. So anyway, so I looked it up a little bit, and I found out that the reason why that's true is because the American dollar is worth a lot more than the Mexican peso, a lot more. In fact, right now it's about the $1 in American money is the equivalent of about $20 down in Mexico. It goes a lot further. The blood of God goes a lot further than the blood of people, and way further than the blood of bulls and goats. It's valuable enough not only to wash clean every person who will accept this gift, but as verse 10 says, it makes us holy without the need of further sacrifices. Jesus Christ is our final sacrifice. And this means that Jesus Christ is the reason that we don't have to walk to a temple every single day with an animal because we have sinned. And this truth, like I said, can inject joy into our relationship with God. And when Christianity becomes about drudgery, becomes about doing the same things over and over again, we start to become miserable. But when we realize that Christianity is really the exact opposite, it is being set free from that burden of doing that sacrifice over and over again. Instead, what we have the freedom to do is we have the freedom to gather together, to worship Jesus, to come into the presence of God, to make our requests known to God. We have the freedom and the privilege to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, guiding us, helping us to live and walk and learn and grow in our knowledge and in our relationship with God. When we come to realize that that is what Christianity is about, not all that other stuff, not that everyday sacrifice, that everyday dragging the animal down to the temple, that drudgery, then we can rejoice. Then we can be excited. Then we can exchange the burden and the frustration for privilege and blessing in God. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as we come before the table and as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, understand that even this, which is really the closest thing that the Christian church has to a ritual, even with this, it is a time of joy and excitement, even within the somber nature of it that Paul emphasizes in 1 Corinthians 11, it is still a time of rejoicing before God and basking in the privilege that we can even celebrate this table. Now, there is one final thing I want to say, and then we are going to move on in the service, but that is this. Being that Jesus is the final sacrifice for sin, there's nothing else out there. And that's something that's emphasized a couple of times in the book of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews says that if we reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there remains no other sacrifice. There is nothing else out there. All right, we can't just revert back to the system of bringing, you know, bulls and sheep. It doesn't work. It's never going to work. It never did work. You know, there's not anything else. We can't, you know, get it in our minds that, hey, if I sacrifice my life for a good cause, then that's going to get me into heaven. You know, that's not a sacrifice that works. You know, we can't sacrifice our time doing a lot of good things. That's not a sacrifice that works. We can't sacrifice our money giving to charities. That's not a sacrifice that works. Now, I'm not saying that all of those things are not good. They are good in their right context. But when it comes to being made holy, when it comes to being made righteous, there is only one sacrifice that remains, and that is Jesus Christ. So if you are looking at your life and seeing that you have been trying to earn that holiness or righteousness through some other sacrifice, through giving of something else, no matter how valuable you might think that thing is, it is not as valuable as the blood of Christ, and it will not wash you clean. I want to encourage you this morning that if you have not received the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, that comes through the only viable, powerful, and I can't even remember the two words I already used. I'm going to say valuable. If I already used it, double the value. If you don't come by that sacrifice, then you're not going to get there. So I want to encourage you, if you have not received that, to receive that this morning. And I would be thrilled to talk with you after the service about how you can do that. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to sing in just a moment, and we're going to get ready to celebrate this sacrifice, the Lord's Supper. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I just want to thank you again for the picture that you have given us in your word and in your dealings with the Israelites. You know, you tell us in 1 Corinthians that everything that was done in the Old Testament is meant to teach us. It's meant to show us something. And even the sacrificial system, which, you know, just sounds horribly oppressive, was meant to show us our sinfulness and the fact that blood needed to be shed to cover it. But it was never meant to pay the price of that sinfulness. To do that, you sent your Son. And I want to praise you for that. I want to pray as we celebrate at the table this morning that that would be very much on our minds, that you would be, you know, as we are getting ready to come to this table, Lord, that we would do so in freedom and in excitement, that even though we're doing something that we do every single month, that it would not seem like a drudgery or an obligation to something that we must do. Even though we're in church, which we come to every single week, that being here would not be a drudgery, but that this would be a freedom and excitement and a chance to relate to one another and relate to you, and that you would be glorified through the whole thing. Lord, I want to pray for anybody who may not have received this gift that we've talked about today, this salvation. Anybody who maybe is trying to get right or trying to make themselves righteous by some other sacrifice. I want to pray, Lord, that they would understand this morning that there is no sacrifice that is valuable enough. And I want to pray that they would receive the gift of your sacrifice. You know, that they would evaluate the sin in their life and recognize the effect that it's had, that it has made them enemies of you. And I want to pray that they would see that you have built the bridge to mend that relationship through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that they would repent of those sins and would receive that gift, that they would become your children, and that they also would have something to rejoice and be excited about this morning as we come before your table. We praise you again, Lord. We thank you for your plan that is so much better than anything we could come up with. And I just pray, Lord, that our excitement for that would show through as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand right where you are. Let's worship this God who has designed such a wonderful salvation, not just in the act, but also in the picture thereof.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that
verse 2. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners bleeding, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, my Savior prayed, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away. Praying for sinners, while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my song shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and heeding, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. One more. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at the table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at the table. Come, all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light.
He is able, He will restore at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. I won't worry anymore at the table.
There is healing.
There is healing at the table of the Lord. There is healing at the table of the Lord. I won't suffer anymore at His table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, His burden light. He is able, He will restore at the table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. He says, come just as you are to His table.
Thank you. You may be seated.
All right. I think that between the message and the song that we just sang, I don't think a whole lot of explanation or talking about the table is needed this morning. You know, we know what we're here for. We know that we are celebrating the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that the bread represents the body of Jesus, that the cup represents the blood of Jesus, that this is a representation of the sacrifice that He made for our salvation. Now, I did talk this morning about being aware of the sin in our lives, and I think that if we're going to come into the presence of the Lord in this special way, that it would be a good thing for us to take some time to consider the sin in our lives. And if there is indeed something there that needs to be confessed to the Lord, that we would do that. So if you would, please join me in a moment of silent prayer before we begin. Lord, as we prepare to come before this table, as we eat the bread and as we drink the juice that represents Your sacrifice for us, I want to pray, Lord, that You would just... Lord, if there's stuff in our lives that shouldn't be there, I pray that through Your Spirit You would make us aware of that. I pray that we would not choose to ignore it, that we would not choose to pretend like it doesn't exist, but instead that we would act upon Your Spirit's prodding, and that we would repent of these things and live as You have intended us to live in union with You. I want to pray that as we come before this, that we would take it very seriously, but at the same time that we would rejoice that we have this to celebrate, that we have freedom in You, and that we have joy and real relationship in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would the men please stand? Barry Muffaletto, would you ask the blessing on the bread, please?
Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come and gather around Your table at the beginning of a new year, we're reminded of the new life that we had in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that this life was made possible by Christ coming down from heaven above, allowing Himself to be our sacrifice for our sins. We thank You for His body that was broken for us. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. Let's eat this bread in remembrance of the body of Jesus Christ." Would the men please stand? Lord, as we get ready to take of this cup, I want to pray that the message of today would sink very firmly into our minds, that your blood is so much more valuable than any other blood that exists, because you are God, because you are God incarnate. You are a higher being. You are greater than us. Your blood is greater than us. And I want to thank you that you shed that blood so that we could be washed clean of our sins. I want to pray this morning as we get ready to drink this cup, Lord, that we would celebrate your sacrifice, that we would worship you because of it, and that you would give us just a very strong sense of what you have purchased for us and the effect that that should have on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's drink this blood, or this let's drink this juice in remembrance of the blood of Jesus Christ. The amazing thing about the blood of Jesus Christ is that it does more than just save us. I mean, you know, if all it did was wash away our sins and save us, well, that would be a pretty good bargain. But it does even more than that. It unifies us together as a body that has all been washed by the same blood. So if you would please stand as we sing Unity.
We are one in the Lord, we are one mighty army, with the word as our sword. We stand together and sing in unity. We pray to you, Lord Jesus, help us see Now is the time for worship. Together in harmony we stand, we come, we lift our voice as one. We stand, we come, we lift our voice as one. Now is the time. Now is the time to worship. Together in harmony we stand, we come, we lift our voices one. We stand, we come, we lift our voices one. We stand, we stand.
And on that note, you may be seated. Join me as we ask the blessing on the offering this morning. Lord, as we get ready to take up this offering this morning, Lord, I want to pray that You would bless it, and you know, Lord, You, as I say probably every single week, I think that we have thoughts and we have plans. You know, we have goals, things that we would like to see, things that we desire, things that, you know, we give our money towards, and we would like to see these things happen. But, Lord, I want to pray this morning that any of those things that don't line up with Your plans, I pray that You would remove those things as possibilities. I pray that You would replace any misplaced priorities we have with Your priorities. And I pray that You would use this money to accomplish what You want to. I pray that if there's needs that need to be met, Lord, that You would show us those needs and that we would be able to use these funds to meet those needs for Your glory. If there are missions or things that need to be accomplished, I pray that You would show us those things, give us the strength to do them, and use this money to accomplish those things. But more than anything else, Lord, I pray that this would not be about us, but it would be about You and Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All my days I will sing this song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of delights. For in my helplessness You heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my life. I will trust in the cross of my Redeemer. I will sing of the blood that never fails, of sins forgiven, of conscience cleansed, of death defeated and life without end. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, You're the way, the truth, the life, Star of the morning, glorious in holiness, You're the risen one, heaven's champion, and You reign, You reign over all. I long to be where the praise is never ending, yearn to dwell where the glory never fades, where countless worshipers will share one song, and cries of worthy will honor the Lamb. Beautiful Savior, wonderful counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign over all.
Thank you, Tom and Sarah. All right, we're going to close in just a moment here. We're going to have a word of prayer as we close. Before we do, just a reminder to you that with John out of town, there will be no class of his. So again, I would invite you to join my class if you would like to. Also, a reminder that the teenage class is going to be meeting up here in the back of the sanctuary. So if you're part of that class. Oh, yes. Well, I thought that was a, yeah. And Shirley's class, of course, is an option too. So yes, of course. And before we part ways, I would ask you to do me one other favor, all right? And that is that we have a guy with us today, and it is his birthday. And he's our piano player, and today's his birthday. He chose to spend it with us today, which we greatly appreciate. Yeah, so. And I didn't even ask him to play Happy Birthday, because that's asking him to work on his birthday more than he already has. But I was wondering if you would join me in singing Happy Birthday to him. So yeah, let's make him turn right up here. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom. Happy birthday to you. Well, were you trying to match that to me? Good job. Let's give him a round of applause. All right. Thank you again, Tom. I hope you have a great birthday today, and thank you for coming and playing today. All right, let's close in prayer, and I'll see you at fellowship time or in class. Lord, I want to thank you again for the church family here, for the body of Christ. I want to thank you for people who serve so selflessly, even on their birthdays or whatever day it might be. I do want to pray, Lord, as we get ready to end out the service here, that you would just that you would bless us, Lord. I pray that you would keep your word in our minds. Whatever we heard today that your Spirit used in our lives, I pray that would stay in our hearts and our minds throughout the week, that we would continue to meditate upon it, grow in it. And I want to pray also, Lord, that that you would keep people safe. I know it was snowing earlier. I don't know if it still is. But as people head home, if it's slippery out there, I just pray that you would keep people safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.